to get up.
It's Friday. That's the important thing to remember.
Lord.
TGIF is on the radio. 75 today, 72. Well, that's what it is right now. 75 right now in Joplin, 72 in Pittsburgh, 71 in Tulsa and in Grand Lake, 71 in Northwest Arkansas, 71 in Neosho. Thank you for starting your day with us. Here at KZRG on the live line, we have State Representative Charlie Davis. Good morning to you, Charlie.
Good morning, Chad and Sarah. How are y'all?
Oh, great. It's a great day today.
It is. It is a great day. And, you know, it's been pretty warm. I'm looking forward to a nice weekend. It sounds like your weather forecast says it's going to cool down. So I think it's going to be a beautiful weekend.
So you had the special session. Where do we stand right now?
Well, we're not over yet. As a matter of fact, the Senate just did a technical session on Thursday. So the bill that we voted out of the House and sent it over to the Senate, we're going to have to wait until next Tuesday when the Senate is in full session for them to make a decision what they're going to do. You know, I said this on Wednesday that they have two options, or they have three options. You know, they could just kill it and let it die, which I don't think would be the right thing to do, because Governor Greitens and the vast majority of the people in the state of Missouri are asking for us to work on some pro-life legislation. They could kill it. They could vote it out and send it to the governor as it is. And obviously, you're reporting that the governor really likes the House version of the bill rather than the watered-down Senate version. Or they could send it to conference. And I have a strong feeling that they will probably send it to conference. And what that means is, we've got the House version of the bill. You have the Senate version of the bill. It goes to a conference committee of about 10 senators and reps, and they negotiate on the differences, and they kind of work out a deal to try to get something done. And then it goes back to the Senate, and if they approve it, and it comes back to us, and we approve the conference report, then it goes to the governor. So I have a feeling that's probably the way it's going to be. I think that there are some senators that are a little bit queasy about some of the good things that we put in. So I have a feeling that they're going to ask us to go to conference and negotiate a little bit on it.
So where does so we're going to go to conference. Now, if the Senate just passes the Senate passes their bill and you guys have to compromise, that's the bill that comes to the governor's desk. You think he'll veto it?
No, I think the governor is looking at doing some good pro-life legislation. And, you know, when we're talking about the health care on the federal level, you know, there's this saying, don't let the perfect be the enemy of the good. And many times that's what we look like we're trying to do.
Right.
We're trying to make something absolutely perfect. And because of that, we kill something that is really good. You know, I do not know everything about the federal health care bill. But there are the four Republican senators that say that they can absolutely not vote for it. So they're going to destroy what the vast majority of Americans are asking for, because it doesn't go far enough when this is at least a step in the right direction. And it's the same thing here. This bill is an absolute good step in the right direction, even if we just take up the Senate version and don't put the more stringent protections that the House put in. So the Senate bill is still a good bill. I think the House bill is a much better one. We can compromise, and whichever one the conference committee comes out with, I think it's still going to be a good piece of legislation. I do believe the governor's going to sign it.
So when it comes out of conference, it'll have to be voted on the House and in the Senate?
That's correct. Since it's a Senate bill, it has to go to the Senate first. And if they vote it out, then it'll come to us. So it's kind of like, it looks like the timeline, and this is kind of speculation because we're just trying to figure out what the Senate's going to do. And since the Senate's not going back into session on Tuesday, we will probably be called in the House to go back on Tuesday to see what they're going to do. If they send it to conference, then we will immediately get the bill. We will vote to go to conference. We'll go to conference on Tuesday. Hopefully they can hammer out some of the differences and then release the bill, and it'll go to the Senate, and hopefully we can get it done late Tuesday, maybe Wednesday at the latest. But it all depends on the Senate timeline, what they're planning on doing.
What is the process of being alerted when you have to go in to vote? We had a member of the Senate complaining that they're not calling her, that she would like to have a text or a tweet that she needs to report to the Senate to vote.
Well, you know, I'm sitting there constantly checking my emails to make sure that I get the information about when we are actually supposed to be there. Now, the Senate, when we're in debate on the floor or when we're at the Capitol, whenever the Senate or the House goes in to debate, the House has got a real loud bell. You've heard it before, and it's almost like a school bell.
Yep.
Says, hey, time to go into session. And when it's time to vote on a bill, then the bell rings again. So we know when it's time to actually go in a vote. The Senate sort of has the same thing. They've got a different kind of a bell. They just have a person that talks, the computer-generated voice, to let them know that it's time. Now, granted, there are times that, we sit on the House floor for many hours on end. Sometimes the senators might not necessarily like to have to sit there on the floor and listen. They'd rather go to the office or go somewhere, and then when it comes time to a vote, maybe get texts that they can drive to the Capitol or come into the Senate chamber and make a vote. I don't see a problem. I know the other side of the aisle is a little bit upset. They're not for any type of pro-life legislation. So I think there are some people that might be making up some of these stories because they're not happy with the bill as it's going forward. So
right.
They're going to do anything they can to kind of torpedo it.
But what do you mean that they don't want to sit there and listen to the discussion? They just want to come back and vote on it without even hearing what everyone has to say?
No, absolutely. There are times. There are people that absolutely do not sit there and listen to debate.
Wow.
And for me,
why are we electing these officials?
Well, it's a pro-life bill. I still think it's my duty to sit there in the chamber and listen to the debate. Now, you can go to your offices, and our phone system allows you to continue to listen to debate on the floor through the phone, through the speaker system. So you still hear it. But, my opinion is when we're in debate, you should be on the floor. You should be listening to it. But it's not going to change my vote. I'm going to be a yes on this bill regardless of the testimony that I hear. And I think that's the way that 99% of the people are. The member on the other side of the aisle, the Democrats, are going to be against the bill because it has abortion protection and it has the protection for women in it. So they are 100% going to be against the bill, period. So they don't have to listen to the bill because they know how they're going to vote. And I'm the same way. But I still do think it's my duty to sit there and listen and make sure that I get the full gist of the debate. So that way when I come home and people say, well, what are the arguments that the other side of the aisle is giving towards or against the bill? At least I'm informed when I sit there and I listen.
Right. It just seems like pure laziness on no matter who's doing it on their part for not wanting to sit there and listen. That's what they're being elected to do.
Absolutely. That's why whenever you can actually pull up the cameras, you can actually go to the House website and pull up the camera and listen to the live audio debate and pull up the camera. You will see me in my chair 99% of the time. If I got to go use the restroom or go grab something to drink, I may go off the floor. But I have a tendency of sitting there almost all of the time because I think it is my duty to listen to the floor debate and make an informed decision based on some of the testimony that we hear.
Is there any talk about another special session after this one?
Well, there's always rumors, whether there's rumors for the prescription drug monitoring program. There's a rumor floating around that the governor may call us back for that. There's rumor that he may call us back for some ethics reform. I have always supported the governor. I think he is making some good decisions. Some of these things, I think they can wait till next January because there's nothing pressing about it. PDMP, that does affect the lives of people. So if you were to call us to go back into special session for that, I'd be okay with it. But I think the vast majority of the rest of the things could actually wait till next year. It's going to be up to him. The legislature, we could actually call ourselves back into special session. But in the budget crunch that we're in right now, and we had to cut quite a bit of money from programs, I think the most prudent thing to do is the less number of days that we're there and using taxpayer money, the better it is.
What do you think of Josh Hawley running for the Senate?
Well, I'm kind of torn. I think it would be fantastic in the Senate. I think he would go to Washington and do what he would like to do and drain some of the swamp. I think he'd do a fantastic job. But I also think that the vast majority of the Missourians understand we just elected him last year. We would hate to see a good, strong, constitutional, conservative Christian attorney general that we have not seen in a long time. We've been under Democratic control in the attorney general's office for a generation. So it was nice and refreshing to have somebody that is a constitutional like Josh Hawley in the attorney general's office. So I would hate to see him go. But if he would go to Senate, and win that race, and then we could replace him with another good, strong, constitutional conservative Christian in the Attorney General's office, I'd be okay. But I think there's going to be some Missourians that would be upset that, hey, you know, we just spent all this time and money to get you elected to be Attorney General. Now you're turning your back on us and going to be running for the Senate. So I think there could be some negative things could happen if he chose to run, just because it would upset some people.
I think he's
would it be a great senator? Absolutely.
But I think he's doing a great job as Attorney General.
Yes, absolutely.
Charlie, I want to get your thoughts on how do you feel about Josh Hawley's lawsuit against those pharmaceutical companies for the opioid production?
You know, that's kind of a situation that I'm torn in. You know, that's like the state suing tobacco companies because tobacco caused other physical ailments. You know, my generation, I'm 51 years old, and ever since I can remember, there's always been warnings on there. And our parents would always tell us, don't smoke, it's bad for your health. Who do you actually blame? You got a pharmaceutical company that is manufacturing a product that is a legal product, that is a product that is necessary because the opioids do have a place in pain relief. So who do you blame? Do you blame the doctors that are prescribing it? Do you blame the patient that is demanding it? Or do you blame the pharmacist? I'll give you a scenario that we talked about yesterday. I think there's a lot of the fault falls square on the government's back. And the reason I say that is under Obamacare, one of the questions that is asked when you're in the hospital is, did you suffer any pain while you're in the hospital? And based on some of these answers you give, goes to how much they're going to compensate the hospital for your care.
Right.
So what the hospitals want to do is make sure, by golly, we don't want them to have pain. So I think sometimes they may be a little bit too liberal in the prescribing of medications. So I think government in itself could be to blame for that. I don't necessarily know if it's the pharmaceuticals' fault. That would be like suing a gun manufacturer because somebody used that gun to shoot somebody else.
Right.
The gun manufacturer is making a legal product that that is a good product. Just because somebody uses it in a fashion that is wrong doesn't fall on the shoulders of the gun manufacturer. So we'll have to see. We'll have to see the arguments for and against what the Attorney General's doing, and based on more opinion on some more information that we get.
Well, we appreciate your time today, Charlie.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Have a great weekend.
KZRG News Time, 724.